This is episode 59 of The View from Tab. I'm Jim Menick.
I'm John Cruz.
I'm Chris Palmer.
And I'm Mike Beats.
We got all four of us back together again, first time in a long time. And we're just going to take up right where we left off. We have been talking about the new resolutions, LD resolutions for next year. And in the last, in our last episode, we talked about the first three. The one first one we talked about was the constitutions of democratic governments ought to include procedures for secession. We had a lot of talk about that and a lot of argument about that. Very interesting topic. So I do advise anybody who didn't hear it, go back. And we disagreed to begin with. Everybody made good arguments, so we disagreed less when we were finished. I was negative, and Chris and John were positive. The next one was the...
voted negative?
I didn't like the resolution going in.
Actually, Beats, you would have been so impressed. We had like a real argument.
Yes, we argued it so much that it actually said, hey, we could argue this. Okay. The next one was when making admissions decisions, public colleges and universities in the United States ought to favor members of historically disadvantaged groups. Meh. And the third one we talked about was United States Supreme Court's justices should be subject to term limits. We like it, but it's limited, if you pardon the expression. Yes. So, it's the kind of thing you can only argue so much about it. But I liked it. When I was rating this, I had written this up, and I gave that one an 8 out of 10. So I like that one. But
that'd be a good nationalist topic.
Yeah, that's what we all said. And it would be great, you know, to debate once or twice. That's about it. Okay, so that takes us. So we're going to start the next batch. And the next one up is resolved. The United States is justified in intervening in the internal political processes of other countries to attempt to stop human rights abuses. I want to write this on the blackboard just so that people can see it and see where all the phrases are, because this has to be one of the longest, if not the longest, on this list, and one of the longest I've seen in a long time. And I will come out and say that because it's so long, I think it's good, because all those clauses narrow what you can argue, because it's a big topic. I mean, it's human rights abuses in other countries. What does the United States do about that? And I think the way the topic is worded, it really forces you to answer that question and not dodge around it. So what do you guys think? Mike, you weren't with us last week, so why don't you start off? Are you a big fan of this one, or do you hate this one, or what?
Yes, and in fact, I tried to stay... I didn't ever look even at any of the pre-releases when they were coming up with the topic list until, like, the night before. And this one, I really... It said domestic affairs, I think, before. And so I talked with, I think, Joe and Dan and some of the other people, and... I think what came out is better than domestic affairs.
Internal political processes is a little broader, and but it's the same thing, if you know what I mean. So it's a better use, a better phrase. I agree.
But I think it also means it means I guess I like some of the topic areas I was thinking of were like, I mean, you could range probably everything from what, assassination to funding counter regimes, or even just taking out using intelligence and other less I don't see it as much as like
you could take out an ad in an election. I mean, it could be very minimal.
You could take out ads in elections. You could, just basically, it doesn't have to be anything illegal, or it doesn't have to be anything, there's no, I don't think that necessarily, I guess illegal according to our own laws.
Well, intervening is the operative word, so intervening, to me, says there's going to be something a little more than just, I'm going to take a position. It's doing something.
Yeah,
it is taking an action. So... not necessarily an illegal action, but it's somebody else's borders. We certainly don't want anybody taking any actions within our borders, as far as I know. But maybe there's examples of times that we do, or that we allow it, or that we wouldn't care, or something like that. But
there's always scandal when I think wasn't there scandal when Al Gore, when there was supposedly money taken from Chinese?
Right.
I don't even know what it was.
Yeah, there were donors from China through corporations.
That was in the 96 election.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is illegal right. here. So.
And so, I mean, that's the sort of I like the scope of the resolution, from being able to go very specific to even talking about, you know, the issues of sovereignty, and I guess I would almost call it a constraint on the other side, and that is it's specific to human rights abuses, or to try to stop human rights abuses. So it's not like when you vote affirmative, you're writing sort of a blank check. There has to be some, there's a cap on that end too, which I like. I like this resolution a lot, and I hope it's used.
Yeah, when I ranked it out of 10, I gave it 9 out of 10, and my only issue, and I'm looking at what I wrote, was it is very complex, I think, for novice debaters. So it doesn't have, it may not be as accessible. I mean, it's just a little harder for them. Only 9 out of 10. I'm not saying it's not good for them. I'm just saying.
Just as a counterpoint to that, I kind of agree with you, but I kind of disagree with you, because I actually think that in the same way that the long wording makes the topic more concrete, I think it actually makes it a little more concrete for novices, because you can really break this topic apart and say, look, what is one thing I'm looking at specifically.
So many ways to attack this. I mean, strategically, you can come at this topic from 100 different directions, which I like.
And well, yes.
Jump to later in the list, a topic that you and I both talked about as a modest novice topic: the oppressive government is more desirable than no government. That's really broad, but that to say that that's easier for a novice to grasp, I'm not so sure that that's true, right? Because those are huge topics. Mm. Whereas, I think it's pretty cool that this resolution is so specific that it talks, you know, that it's very careful to specify that it's talking about internal political processes as opposed to just anything that's going on in the country. Like, I think that's great, actually. Yeah.
It's interesting.
I just say
too.
That you have to have a certain vocabulary.
I'm trying to just disagree with you.
Yeah, now you have a certain vocabulary of debate, and I don't know if novices necessarily have that vocabulary of debate to address this topic early in their careers, but they may.
Let's
put it this way: if it's January, February. Yeah, by then they might be okay, but if it were like a September, October,
we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about it, but others would. I mean, that to me was the most minor of demurrals, and I'm half-hearted about it, to tell you the truth. But I love this topic. I think this is a great topic.
I think it's very, very good topic. At the same time, if you had novices going against varsity, it would be difficult for novices to comprehend.
Yeah.
But I think it's reducible for novices. Like, I think you can certainly construct a limited ground that novices can both learn from and grasp based off of this topic. And so given that novices debate other novices, I don't think that's so bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The one thing that I would say that I worry a little bit about is internal. Does it, like, when it says, can we put economic sanctions on a country, does that internal political processes? Can we?
Really not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it is, but it does put pressure on those governments. Like, right, we tried to, in Iraq, the belief was if we put economic sanctions on Iraq, the people would rise up, right?
But that's not intervening in their internal political processes. That's an external.
No, but the purpose of it is to get their internal political process to do something different.
Well, the purpose may be that, but are you actually intervening in that process?
I think you are, because the economic health is the single greatest factor in most elections. So if you're pushing your foot on the lever there, you're certainly...
If China stops buying dollars, is that intervening in our internal political processes?
To get Obama diselected, I think it is.
But
well, the thing is that the affirmative, the action that the affirmative would be quote-unquote proposing has to be on face an act to be the act itself has to be a political process or in like intervening in an internal political process and the word that you would use is that it's effects topical. It's only topical because of the effect that it has on meeting the resolution, and that it's not an action on face to take the affirmative action.
Well, define political. Is the economy part of the politics of a country? I kind of think it might be. I don't know. Like, I think that's broader there than that.
This may be the kind of thing where people end up arguing sanctions or something like that, and everybody accepts it.
But the economy, I think that there's a good grounds to say that the economy may be political, but it is not in the internal political process of something, right?
Like, it actually affects it.
I don't know, because I mean the language of economics is very tied up to people's self conceptions of politics. I mean, what was the entire Cold War about if the economy is not related to politics or not part and parcel of politics?
Yeah, but you're not really, like, when you if I put economic sanctions on someone, I'm not necessarily messing with their internal political processes. Like, it might have that effect, and it probably will have that effect, but that's not messing with or
well,
being in those processes. It may or may not. Like, you don't know if it's going to work or if it's not going to work.
But it's trying to change those processes, but it's
right.
Not intervening.
You're trying to get different actions or decisions out of the politic out of the polity of that country, right?
But that's not an. I don't know if that's an intervention so much as it is a. If that's intervening.
Attempted influence. Right.
It's influence. Yeah. It's trying to influence it. But here it's like an attempt to stop human rights abuses. I mean, you have like something's really horrible. We perceive something as being horribly wrong. Are we justified in doing something about it? And are we justified in doing something like going in and tinkering with their machine, so to speak? Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's more leeway here. I don't think. I think that topicality battle will be more easily won by a broader definition.
I think that makes the topic so huge. I just think from a limited standpoint, I just don't know if, you know, the debate, to me, at least when preparing for it, would be to try to narrow the topic, because otherwise, if you allow economy, then you're going to allow. I mean, then is if we do. If we
affect the environment of the country.
Yes, we affect the environment. Then is any action? I don't think that the affirmative would want to defend an interpretation of the resolution that would say any action. I don't think we would want to debate an interpretation of the resolution.
I don't think we would want to either. I'm just sort of going off the wording. Mm-hmm. But I just think that there's so much political science literature out there about how important the economy is to elections and how it's the single greatest factor. I mean, basically, at this point, if unemployment were to go up 2 points, Obama would not win.
It wouldn't matter who's running. I mean,
it's pretty universal. It's a universalizable effect, and the economic strength really ties very closely to the popularity of any given regime, no matter what form it takes. And given the preponderance of that literature, I think it's going to be you're going to have a hard fight trying to declare that out of bounds. Now, anything else would be easier, but the economy in particular is going to be tough.
But that interpretation would have to open up, like, why do you stop the line there? Like, I think that from a theory standpoint, the interpretation that would say that...
I'm just thinking the cards are easier to find for the economy than it is for anything else, but that doesn't necessarily draw the line there. It just means it's easier.
Well, right. Like, for example, if our gun laws, like this whole Fast and Furious thing, right? If our gun laws in Arizona allow more guns to be trafficked into Mexico, does us changing our gun laws intervene in the internal political processes over there?
I don't know. That would be a harder case, but I don't think it's an impossible case.
I'm sort of sticking with that. I think it's going to be tougher than that. I mean, more narrow than that.
Yeah,
I don't know. I have doubts. I think the economy is going to be fair game.
I'm going to be arguing on the other side. This intervention has to be intervention. I mean, the word intervention actually means something.
Now, on the other hand, sanctions are are rarely used in cases of human rights abuses.
Well,
because they tend to constitute a human rights abuse in their own right. They're more often used in sort of grand politics, like we declare them against Iraq, not Rwanda. So
from a technical standpoint, you could say a sanction isn't intervening. It's the opposite of intervening. It's a doing nothing. It's a non-intervention. An intervention would mean to take an action. A sanction is is to not, just to stop doing something.
I don't know if it's that simple.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of, my to my mind, an intervention is a change in the status quo. And so it can go either direction, you know? But I do like this topic a lot.
I was going to say, this has
been up that way because the sort of viewpoint I look at topics with is, does it have the potential to teach the kids something that they don't know much about? And our group of high school kids right now don't remember Rwanda. And Rwanda was like the classic case of, you know, should the United, or in Bosnia for that matter.
Syria, you know, right now.
You know, both of those happened when the kids were like 5-6 years old at most. And so those are the cases where people are like, you know, does a democracy intervene and does a democracy do these things purely for the sake of helping other people? And we didn't. I mean, we barely scratched the surface in Bosnia and we didn't do anything about Rwanda. So I think that's definitely worth having the kids go through.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the best material. That's the stuff you want to be talking about.
I'll say, like, since I wasn't on the last podcast, I'll say that this whole list I'm really happy with. For that reason exactly, because I think the last couple of years, well, at least it seemed like last year, all we debated about was the appropriateness of people's individual morality. And
yeah, gag me the spoon. Well, and then we had like cases that was 5.5 minutes of framework and then 2 cards of impacts, and then they talked about individual morality versus existentialism versus, you know, intuitionism, and I was just like, oh my god, my ears started to bleed.
Well, and it all that always in my mind, things can get way more personal on when you talk about how individual people should do things in given situations.
Right.
And since we debated about, I mean, all the like animal rights, helping the people in need, and then the domestic, all of them were just. I saw more offensive stuff on the last year than I care to ever see again in my life. Yep. Of what people said. So I'm really sort of happy we're kind of moving back to... Yeah.
I mean, the last topic had multiple people leaving debate over it. I mean, that's just not where we want to be.
Yeah.
So, but, and plus it just was really hard for me to judge these topics. Like, individual morality is such an intuitive and personal thing that, you know, you quote-unquote try to judge from a so-called comparative worlds paradigm, but when you're talking about individual morality, you can always construct a particular set of circumstances behind an individual person where a given course of action might seem right. And so there's no way to compare worlds because you're not comparing worlds at all.
Right.
So if you try to judge from that kind of a paradigm, you're kind of lost in the weeds. There's nowhere to go. So,
it seemed to me that there was just a whole lot of cobbling together of, I mean, there just seemed to be a lot of, I guess, maybe intellectual dishonesty about how positions came together, because, for example, in the real world, very few people would say that animals have no rights, right? And all the resolution called for was a recognition of animal rights, just right. Any recognition. But, you know, the negatives had to sort of take a more extreme position that doesn't exist in the literature, or helping people in need. Like, no one argues that you shouldn't from a moral perspective, but...
Yeah. Yeah, negatives are assholes in that case. I mean, it's just the way it is.
And they had to be, and we forced right. them to in the topics that we chose. And I'm really glad that what made it even worse was that people were giving moral justifications for why it was okay not to. And that to me is really teaching our kids a really sort of nihilistic view of how to be human.
Yeah, and we create a bunch of little objectivists from the November-December topic?
The horror.
It's possible. Oh, no. I mean, it's an impressionable age. It's very possible that could have happened, you know? So
you could have saved all that trouble giving them a copy of Atlas Shrugged and just partied for a couple of months, you know? So. All right, well, why don't we move on? We all like this one. This one is just, I think, riches can be well-worded, even though it is complexly worded. I would like to see this, I mean, as a January, February topic. I just think that would be just the perfect place for something like this, because there's so much you can talk about. So, anyhow, the next one is resolved. In a democracy, voting ought to be compulsory. When I read this, I'm just like, I wouldn't want to argue this for any great length of time, but I would love to argue it and talk about it because I think it's a great subject. So I gave it a very high rating and would like to see it like either as a September, October, or a Nationals topic. I think it would be perfect for either of those.
That's sort of like a November, December topic.
I
like this topic. I like this topic. I think, first off, I think that's an interesting topic because I think that you can debate it in many ways. You could debate it, I guess, purely from like a philosophical perspective, but there are countries that really do have, you know, this type of mandatory voting. I think Australia does and whatnot.
A lot of South America, too.
And so this isn't just like an abstract topic. Like, there are things that you could really look to what the effects of a mandatory voting system would be on those kinds of countries and debate from that. I think that's kind of interesting.
And it also gets into literature on the structure of government, which I think is a useful body of literature to go into. There are different effects. On Australia, they only have one election.
Right.
They only elect their parliament, and that's it. And whereas in this country, there are elections every other week because we have voting on local, state, and federal levels. So that becomes interesting as well.
Another thing I would just point out, it's 8 words. How can you not like a topic that's 8 words?
I kind of also like, I would contend that of the ones we think of as not really being able to survive a long-term slog, this is probably the one most able of those
ones.
That's true. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, I do agree that it wouldn't be that great for January, February in a long-term topic, but it wouldn't be that bad.
I don't think people will vote for it in that slot, though.
Well, the way voting's gone lately, I don't want any such predictions. So,
I mean, I don't know. We established that whoever was voting wasn't voting in the past. We got more votes last year, right, than any year before, or something like that, coming from different places. Or at least that was the theory. Whatever. If you're not in a position of having, you know, a direction toward TOC or your own finals aren't debating that January, February topic, then January, February takes a whole different meaning to you than us, when we're all looking at January and February is 4 months of is all next year, so you're going to take a look at it quite differently. So anyhow, that one, it's like I said, a nice little compact topic.
I like it. I don't mm-hmm. I've never researched anything about it, so I don't have a lot to add. I would rather it not be. I'd rather it be a good March April topic or something like that, or a September. Or what's the second one we do? November December. But it would be interesting to talk about, like, any sort of practical application of it is going to be largely dependent on the country, I guess, that they would be saying should do it. Because the United States is so unique in how diverse it is, but it's, the oldest democracy or whatever.
And you got, like, the states controlling each, like, the elections are run by states and stuff like that.
Well, there's also the, in the United States specifically, there's a back door here where you could talk about the issue of felons losing the right to vote.
Right.
So, you've got sort of a left-handed, skew there that probably could be brought into this topic.
Since every state is so, like, I'm thinking about, if this was in California, it would be awful because we have so many measures on, we vote on everything in California. And it's like, one of the things we're voting on is whether or not porn filming should require them to wear condoms. That's going to be on the ballot. in California.
Plantex, California needs a new constitution.
we vote on everything, and so I guess to make it, I don't know. It also seems like, I guess, from the others, like, it's important that everyone is involved, but I'm not sure if it doesn't also get rid of. I guess there's like, in Australia, can you put no preference can you say
you can write in
none of the above.
You can say none of the above, but you must go and cast a ballot and say none of these people. You can't just stay home.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I think that I probably, you know, from the perspective of equal voting rights access and all that sort of stuff, I believe the affirmative probably is better because if it's compulsory, then the government has to take steps to protect everyone's right to it. I think that that's probably a good thing to solve the issue of disenfranchisement and these new state voter law things that are awful. So
right. Well, and the other thing is it will encourage kids to learn about what the impact of voting is.
Right.
Which is nice, you know.
Yeah. No. Like I said, we'll see. It could get in. It could get in. Wouldn't want to see it for the Jan/Feb. That's all.
And there's better ones on there.
Yeah, exactly. There's other ones. Okay, this one, next one on the list, on balance, the privatization of civil services serves the public interest. And when I first read this, and then when I second read it and third read it and 15th read it, I didn't get it. I still don't get it. I realize other people think this one is the bee's knees. As far as I'm concerned, civil services is what the government does.
Well,
The privatization of what the government does.
Yeah. All right, I'm jumping in.
Take it away, Ron Paul.
Ron Paul? What? Take it away, Walter Mondale.
There's a misnomer, yeah.
All right. So it seems to me that this topic is from my perspective, I was not on the wording committee this year. I look at this topic and I think post office. That seems to me that that's really the heart of what they're talking about here, because that is the longest standing debate on this topic. Although I guess you could also say it's about privatization of Social Security, it's privatization of all these different things. And I assume that the reason it's worded this way is to include all of them so the topic doesn't get stale, although I wonder if in doing that it just makes the topic confusing. I just want to say that purely from the post office perspective, because that was nominated as a public forum topic last year, I actually think that's like one of the most pressing and important things for young kids to find out about and learn about, particularly because that the way that topic is presented, like if it is presented at all in public discourse, is embarrassing. And I think that a lot of people who seem to be opposed to like the government doing its basic function of running a postal service.
I want you to do me
very
a favor.
Upset.
Yeah, John, I want you to go to your school, get all the kids together. I want a show of hands. How many have ever been in a post office?
I bet a lot of them have not.
I mean, it's like, yeah, but okay, but all right. Post office. I know you like the subject of post office.
Well, does this
include the Department of Motor Vehicles?
What's a civil service?
I agree. I mean, this is the problem. The point that I was about to say is I think it's a really important topic. And I wonder, I wasn't on the committee, but I wonder if somebody had a topic that originally said something like the post office or Social Security and the argument got, you know, I don't know, people started to say that it wasn't going to last or it was too specific and it got broadened to this. Because this resolution reminds me of resolutions like
police,
like stereotypical resolutions.
Civil servants.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I think that
I guess like you, this is a charter.
I think the biggest topical area that's going to get mentioned is not the post office, but prisons. The private prison industry in this country is huge.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Very recent.
Hospitals also.
And the conviction rates in some, like Louisiana's conviction rates are going through the roof because the private prisons are lobbying for extended sentences so that they can get larger contracts.
There's a whole series, though, about private prison, which is just a unique situation with the private prisons in some state or some particular ownership of private prisons being like the most horrible thing ever and the people just walking out of them and everything else.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, I think that's a hugely rich area.
It's also an important topic.
What is the connection between the post office and the prisons that ties this together with some philosophical, ethical framework structure that applies to everything?
The question is whether or not the government is more effective, is more concerned with being effective if you grant that private industry is more effective, or it's more important that it be under social control.
Who grants that private industry is more effective? What are the failure rates of private industry?
About 60% of the voters in this country. Are you kidding me?
And that's
That's viewed in American politics as a given. It may not be true, but
okay.
it is viewed
as a given. All right, so it's in other words, we just accept the truth or not.
This is actually why, I'm sorry to keep going back to the post office, but I still think that's where there's just tons of literature on this that's like, what, I agree about the prison thing. The post office debate is so fascinating because everyone just sort of blindly assumes that it's better when you have competition on this, but what's going to end up happening, big government people like me would say, is that the day that we privatize the post office altogether, people in, you know, Bumble, Beep, wherever, will suddenly realize that it is a fortune to mail anything, because the only reason that they were mailing things at a nice low rate was because the government was mandating that that be done, right?
Not everything is profitable.
Right, exactly. I mean, and so it's just, this is one of these things where it's stunning, because people who argue, I just want to say this for 5 seconds, then I'll get off this topic. And this might be why it's good that it's not just about the post office. People who argue that the post office ought to be privatized, I'm like, guys, you're the same people who claim that the government should just do what it says in the Constitution. But it talks about establishing post offices in the Constitution. It's like mind-boggling to me that this is what we've done to our postal service. I actually think our postal service is pretty phenomenal. It's interesting. You know, show of the majesty of government and whatnot. You know, I'm being so corny here. Yes, thank you.
But on the back,
it's because I read David Brin's The Postman. Goddammit, and it's a symbol of civilization.
You're saying that movie, Kevin Costner?
Screw that movie. Anyway.
But at the same time, when you talk about the post office, you talk about a service that is fading anyway. Because when's the last time you got a piece of useful mail? I mean, my mailman brings me a whole lot of flyers I don't like.
Believe me, my day job is predicated on mail, and it's going out of business. So.
Yeah, I mean, my mailman may as well dump all my mail directly in the recycle bin.
Until the day comes that everything is electronic, I like that I have my universal cost to mail.
Just gives you another place to go check in on Foursquare.
Well, that's true as well.
Just to give you an analogy, the airlines used to be regulated. And under Reagan, they were deregulated.
Yes.
Which meant that you had to have service to Timbuktu from, you know, Tombuktu. And as soon as it was deregulated, the airlines could do whatever they wanted to do. And now there's no direct flights anywhere. There's no extra flights. Every flight is crowded. I mean, everything that is wrong with airlines today, and there's nothing right, is a direct result of the deregulation and letting the airlines do what they want to do. And they're also not making a lot of money at it. Either. So, I mean, it's been a fail situation. So I'm not saying this is good, bad, or indifferent. What I'm saying is, in a way, there's an example of what happens when you say something really, really big that the federal government has been running or organizing and take the federal government out of it. In this one particular case, it hasn't worked out that well. So, I mean, there actually is some interesting examples of something like that having happened. So.
Well, and the wider question, too, is do you want to invest government power into entities that have their own agendas and are not under direct control of voters? Mm-hmm. I mean, is that compatible with democracy itself? I don't know.
What are examples of the others?
Hmm?
What has worked? Has any, like, what privatization has worked? But some people say, and I mean...
Charter schools, you could argue.
People would argue charter schools, I guess, although I think that that's extremely controversial.
It is, but it's arguable.
Right. I don't know if this.
I'm sure there's a charter school somewhere that's a really good school, right? You know.
Oh yeah,
Right. I mean, and this is
it's just the effect of what it does to the everything. Yeah. It's the larger effect.
This is kind of a reverse example, but I guess there's a common argument that Amtrak is a failure because it's like promoting an antiquated technology. I've seen that argument be made before, although I don't know if that really is what you're talking about. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with that argument, I know that it gets made.
I mean, there's a lot. I don't know if there are any good, like, solid examples, but I will say that there's most like definitely a lot of good, well, not good, but convincing, persuasive literature of various privatizations being a wild success, because the people who benefit from them have a lot of incentive to put that out.
Are there any European examples? I mean, this is not U.S. I mean, you know, there's something else that we're missing. All I can think about is healthcare. Obviously, that's not true as a privatized thing.
Well, there's the Thatcher Revolution. There's Latin American denationalization of various mining interests, things like that. A mixed record in just about every case. But the Thatcherite privatization of a lot of British national industry is regarded as being an economic benefit. Whether it was a social benefit is an open question, but it certainly is regarded as being economically beneficial for Britain.
which would serve the serve the public interest. So, and defining that's a loosey-goosey term. So well, allows you, so it's so benefits a benefit. You know,
you could also talk about the Soviet Union and China. Nothing doesn't say democracy.
No, it's wide open, but it's
so.
I still don't like it. I don't know.
Actually,
what you're really arguing about here.
I want to go back to what Chris just said. I didn't really think too much about the non-U.S. specificity of this topic, but now I'm actually not so sure I'm crazy about that, because I feel like what is considered a civil service can differ from government to government. That's the whole argument we're having right now about healthcare, right? Feeds right into that.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, I'm hesitant about this non-U.S. part of this.
Yeah, and we're the only industrialized country that doesn't provide universal health care.
Right.
So there you are, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like Chris said, I mean, this can be communist countries. It can be any damn thing.
So I this still one, think Social Security would also be a big area on this topic.
Well, right? you might have a hard time defining that as a civil service, because it's more of a comprehensive insurance plan, and there is some sort of term of artness to civil service
that may
not cover Social Security. I don't know. So
here's what Wikipedia says: the body of employees in any government agency other than the military.
Hmm. Well, yeah.
It's pretty broad.
So. And I mean,
it's too broad.
Of course, if you don't talk about Social Security, you're not talking about most of the federal government, too.
Right.
There's Paul Krugman's favorite line that the federal government is an insurance company for old people that has an army. And if you look at the budget breakdown, that pretty much is it. Yeah. Everything else is noise.
Speaking of noise, I hear the train going through again, or the wind blowing through. I don't know. Anyhow, we've actually spent a lot of time. We've gone through.
Yep.
Three, I would like to save the other four for another time. Tell you the truth, I'm glad that we sort of ended up agreeing on the civil services one, except for Mr. Postman there.
No, I think it's a good. My point is,
I actually like the topic. I think
would you vote for it?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. In comparison, I haven't really formed a very good image of the other.
I don't feel great about the. In this case, about the non-U.S. specificity of it, just because I think that we're going to have to talk, we would have to talk a lot about what constitutes a civil service universally, I guess, but I think that might be something that is, more country-specific.
Right. I think I like it, and I think I would vote for it because I do sort of personally feel that the privatization of prisons is such a huge issue.
Sure.
Having that debate one time out of every 5 or 10 or whatever, that alone is worth it.
You may never get there.
Right. Well, you never know. But
privatization of prisons in the U.S. Serves the public interest, or do it as a PF topic. Because that, to me, is also fairly narrow, and I'd rather see it as a PF topic.
The privatization of prisons is not a topic.
Hmm?
That is not a narrow topic. I don't think that's a narrow topic at all. So,
I'm thinking you're probably right. I'm agreeing.
It's one
with
of
you.
Those. Mm-hmm. It's one of those topics that sounds narrow at first blush, but you read a bit about it, you're just like, "Oh Jesus, touches everything."
It does touch everything, but it could work in either kind of debate too. I mean, different debates though. But yeah, I think it would support. Yeah, but I'd rather have that because then you would get your debate. If you specifically said that, then maybe half the time they'd talk about it. Whereas now it's a crapshoot. You'd be 1 in 100 times if you're lucky. It'll come up.
Not if we ran it, though.
Well, believe me. I mean, the resolution will say, potatoes are white, and nobody will mention potatoes or whiteness, So.
The prisons topic can also be addressed in the rehab versus punishment topic.
Very true, mm-hmm. Yeah. Not directly to the privatization, but it could come up, yeah.
I think it's a huge part because we become less rehabilitative as it becomes profitable for companies to keep people in prison.
That's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm gonna. There's noise again. It's like going on.
Yeah,
we did three good ones. We talked about three, so we get together next time and do clean up on the other four.
Okay.
Finish up for there. All right, gentlemen.
And you guys, Beats, at VBI, they did the healthcare one, right? That was the camp topic?
It was the camp topic. That is correct.
So we'll actually have experience on one of these. That'll be nice.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I think, well, our session two starts 2 days after the topic, or 2 days before the topic comes out. So the kids that are doing session two are going to get about 2 weeks of prep on it. So there'll be probably lots coming out of there, huh?
Oh, so they prepare that was, September, October?
Yeah, September, October.
Okay. That's neat.
Hoping for eminent domain, I guess.
That's such a good topic.
Eminent domain is good. I like the estate taxes one, too.
I wrote that topic.
Oh, there you go.
I'm looking at that. What are you talking about? That's last year's topic. Yeah, I forgot we still have to take a lot from last year. Right?
One last time, yep. Right. There was another one that was all right. What was the... Wasn't there a... I don't even remember what was on the ballot.
The one about internet...
databases,
external databases.
External servers. That one's terrible. Like, let me tell you that's going to be... As a quote-unquote subject matter expert, if you want to, a remote server or something like that.
Yeah, what was the topic?
It's without probable cause, like...
Good law enforcement can, like, go on and seize data on remote servers. And they were trying to go after the cloud. They're sort of talking about cloud data. But you know what? I could prove to you with perfectly good literature that Jim's iPhone is a remote server. And, you know, my telephone number on it, therefore, is, you know, fair game, topical, or whatever.
Well, what isn't on a computer now?
Yeah, I know. And any computer can be a server. There's nothing. Okay. Server is a meaningless...
And I want to give the government free reign to all of it? Free access to all of it?
And thus
No.
Yeah, so that's a terrible topic.
the topics are...
I don't care if it's tied up. I don't want the government having unlimited access.
Oh, it's non-citizen
process,
terrorism.
Due process for terrorists.
I like that one.
People accused of terrorism. Same constitutional due process protections it grants to citizens. Handguns ought not be an individual right. Eminent domain, estate taxes, prioritize environmental concerns over production of energy. I don't know.
That's weird. There's
question. That's an odd comparison.
That's just going to be Policy Fest 2012 if we get that one. Yeah.
Well, and it's...
Like, what framework is justifiable other than utilitarianism there? There's really just no...
I just say ought to prioritize environmental concerns over the protection of energy.
Yeah. You know, it's just, that's a policy topic. That's not ours. Wasn't that a PF topic?
I don't know.
I think that was the NCFL PF topic.
You're asking the wrong people.
Or something very close to it.
I thought that one had something to do with having to believe what the church says. Wasn't there something about that? I don't know.
Yes.
God is right.
not this year. I think they already settled that one.
Then the last one is this... Crazy one. In the United States, law enforcement ought to be required to have probable cause to search data on an individual has stored on remote servers. An individual has stored on remote servers.
Yeah, that's...
That's not good.
Yeah, increasing U.S. energy production should take precedence over protecting the environment was the NCFL PF topic.
I mean, the old environment versus industry is a classic, but I mean, the more specific you get, the less classic it becomes.
Yeah.
Why is it specific to the production of energy?
Don't remember.
Fracking versus, I don't know. Oh. Yeah, that's... Well, we've got a hit or miss bunch there, don't we?
We'll find out in a month. Anyhow, we'll get together on the next batch that we're... For next year, whatever.
Yep. Yeah.
A week or two. All right, gentlemen, it's been swell.
Swell. Good night.
Whenever.
Good night.
Okay. Good night. Bye.